This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. The topic for today's program is incentive. What is your incentive in life? Is it to enter the kingdom of God? Or is it wealth? Is it to have a huge home? Is it to have five fancy sports cars? Is it to have a beautiful wife or a fantastic husband? What is your incentive in life? What motivates you? What pushes you? What makes you go? I want to look at that subject today, incentive. And I want to do it from the perspective of looking at the financial crisis that we've gone through and we are still experiencing. That financial crisis is interesting. I read an interesting book dealing with the crisis recently titled The Big Short by the author Michael Lewis. And there are some interesting parallels when you look at how the crisis happened and what the Bible has to say on some things. It's amazing when you look at this, and I saw these parallels as I read the book, and I want to relate a few of them to you today. But to begin, I want to look at the parable of the sower, because I believe there's some interesting information there that has to do with what we're going to discuss today. Now, you can find the parable of the sower over in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. And I'm not going to read the entire parable to you, but as we remember, if you think about this parable, this sower went out to sow seed, and he dropped seed in various places, and some of the seed took root, and some of it did not. Now, Jesus then said, before he got to an explanation of this, that some people were going to understand God's truth, and that's why he spoke in parables, but not everyone would. And that is an interesting thing when we look at this subject of the financial meltdown and some of the folks who knew what was happening and most of the folks who did not see what was coming. So we'll get into that as we go further. But let's focus right now on the parable of the sower, and let's look at the explanation Jesus gave for it, and let's see if we can find our subject incentive in there today. I'm going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. It says this, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Now, this is talking about folks who may believe in the Word of God, but maybe their familial relationships tell them that there's a problem with that belief. Or maybe they have another issue that leads them away from that belief. But that family or that relationship or that other person could be the incentive for that person in life, their main focus in life that pulls them away from God and God's kingdom. Notice verse 22. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world," incentive is all wrapped up in that, ladies and gentlemen, "and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." And that's what I want to focus on today, the deceitfulness of riches. Because when we look at the financial meltdown, we see the deceitfulness of riches all wrapped up in that. And God tells us we need to focus on getting into his kingdom first, rather than all the things this world can offer us. Finally, it says in verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. So we see that those who stay focused, those who keep their incentive on God, will bear fruit. They will get into that kingdom. But let's look at the deceitfulness of riches today, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look at it as a modern day parable on where we need to focus our incentive. Because if we focus it in the wrong direction, we can go down the wrong path in life that can lead us away from God and away from His kingdom. Before we get to all of that today, what I'd like to offer you is from some free literature and also a free CD. The literature we'd like to offer you on today's program is titled, Afraid to Die. Ladies and gentlemen, death can be a great incentive in life. Nothing is surer than death and taxes, goes the old adage. But for all its familiarity, thousands die daily, and all of us have experienced the loss of loved ones. Death remains a dreaded enemy, not a friend. What is death? What happens when you die? Do you have an immortal soul that goes either to an ever-burning hell or up to heaven? It's time you saw the Bible answer. Get this booklet, Afraid to Die, and learn more about the subject of death. We also want to offer you a sermon CD titled Incentive. In this particular CD, we will expand upon the themes of today's program. Please get this CD and learn where you need to focus your incentive. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Please be aware of the fact that we also have webcasting of sermons each Sabbath. Go to our website to learn more about that, and also look in our archives of sermon messages all on the website at www.cgi.org. I want to welcome you all back to today's program. I want to thank you for being here today. In the first segment of today's program, we were talking about the parable of the sower, and we saw how incentive was important in keeping people focused on God, in keeping people focused on getting into the kingdom of God. We also mentioned Michael Lewis's book, The Big Short, and as I read that book, I saw interesting parallels between the financial crisis and how people were led away by the deceitfulness of wealth. And I found parallels to what the Bible has to say about people staying on the right track and not getting on the wrong track due to what their incentive in life may be. So to start today's program out, I want to deal a little bit with that book by Michael Lewis. Again, it's titled The Big Short. And what Michael Lewis's main focus in the book was, he talked about the financial meltdown from the perspective of what we call collateralized debt obligations. Now, I know that's a big word. Let me try to simplify that for you. These CDOs, as they were called, were invented to redistribute the risk of corporate and government bond defaults. But during the credit crisis, they were used to disguise the subprime mortgage loans. And as you know, many of those mortgage loans were bad, and they had a big part to play in the financial meltdown that we've just experienced over the last couple years. Now, to understand how this all happened, let me try to set this up for you in a simple way. These CDOs were created by some of these Wall Street bigwigs, and what they realized was that if we put a bunch of loans together and package them, and let's say 80% of the loans were rated AAA, and 20% of them were rated triple B. Well, that would still be a good investment, because with so many of those loans, 80% being good, people would want to invest in that type of instrument on Wall Street. Now, they got a little greedy with this idea, though, because someone at Goldman Sachs had the idea that maybe I can take some of these bad loans out of these good CDOs and create more CDOs to sell, because that would get more money. And it did. But here was the problem. Taking the bad loans, the 20% bad loans out of some of those good CDOs and creating new bundles of loans in a, what they called a tower of loans, what had happened was those new bundles were all bad, basically, or the majority of the loans within those bundles were bad. Now, you may say, well, how did they get a AAA ranking for those bad bundles? Well, these Wall Street bigwigs would go to the rating agencies like Moody's, and because the previous CDOs were good, and they looked like the old CDOs, they looked like the CDOs that were good, the folks at Moody's and some of these other rating agencies just gave them a AAA rating. So investors were fooled as to what they were investing in. It was all a house of cards built upon itself. And you know the rest of the story. You know what occurred from this. When it all came down, when the housing market went kaput, all these particular CDOs had to be paid out. People who bet against them had to be paid because they were betting that these things would not go well. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of those who bet against that CDO market and how they made out like bandits. But again, why did this meltdown occur? It had to do with incentive, ladies and gentlemen. The people on Wall Street, those at Goldman Sachs who created this to begin with, once they started this creation of this new CDO, people at Morgan Stanley, people at Deutsche Bank, people at the other big Wall Street firms like Bear Stearns and Morgan Stanley got into this market too. They started to create those same type of CDOs that were built upon a false foundation on bad mortgage loans. But the incentive was there. Hey, this is not only making us millions, this is now making us billions. The deceitfulness of wealth, going back to the parable of the sower. Now, those folks were making money, but so were the rating agencies. Because when they'd come to the rating agencies to get that AAA rating, the rating agencies would be paid also if they could get that AAA rating. And this goes down to the level of the mortgage companies that were selling these loans, because those loans were feeding the CDO market. And as you guessed it, they wanted to have more loans, and they would take someone who was making $14,000 a year, and they would give them a house for $700,000. Now, let's look at that a moment. Someone making $14,000 a year, should they be buying a house that is $700,000? Of course not. But those loans were signed off on by companies, by banks. Everything was going at a rapid rate. The housing market was going up, up, up. Everybody was making money. Everybody had the incentive to keep making money. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the deceitfulness of wealth. At the top, it was all based on a house of cards, and that house of cards finally fell in upon itself. Now, you may say, weren't these guys smart? Who's at the head of Goldman Sachs? Who are these traders and Wall Street moguls? Some called them the masters of the universe. Yes, these were intelligent people. These were Harvard MBAs. These folks went to the Ivy League schools. But what does the Bible tell us about the wisdom of this world, ladies and gentlemen? Let's take a look at that over in the book of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 25. Notice what the Bible says. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and had revealed them to babes. When it comes to spiritual truth and spiritual knowledge, much like the parable of the sower, this story or this parable of the financial crisis has interesting parallels. Those who were smart, those who were intelligent, did not see the forest for the trees. They became infatuated with this CDO market. They created it. They knew what was behind it. Yet they got lost in the incentive of gaining wealth and forgot, if the housing market does go down, we're in big trouble with this market. They forgot about that because they were wrapped up in seeing the money, in seeing the dollar signs. But there were some individuals on the periphery of Wall Street, some people who understood the financial system, who saw exactly what was happening. And let me give you another scripture before I give you some examples of those individuals. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's take a look at this. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. That is incentive for some people. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble or called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. We see these Wall Street bigwigs, ladies and gentlemen, lost their humility. Some were questioned by those who began to see what was taking place in the financial system. And some of the answers they gave were, well, hey, if this goes down in 7 years, I don't care because I'm going to get my money in the next 2 years. That was the attitude of some of these people on Wall Street who were gaining funds for their companies and making big bucks. But for many of them, it was all about them, all about what they wanted, and they lost sight of what the truth was behind this financial system. Now, let me tell you about what the book had to say about some of those who saw this coming down the pike. A couple of the fellows mentioned in the book, one's name was Steve Eisman. And Eisman sounded like a modern-day prophet. He would go to some of these meetings where the CDOs were being discussed, and he would get up while someone was speaking and just tell them, this is a system that's built on a house of cards. This is going to fall apart. He kind of spoke whatever was on his mind, and he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. He was described as being uncouth, and he was despised by some people on Wall Street. Another fella, his name was Michael Burry. Now, Michael Burry was interesting. He developed cancer at age 2, and he lost his left eye. But this led him to focus on a lot of things in life. He also had Asperger's syndrome, which is a type of autism, so his social skills were very limited. But having that focus on things allowed him to see things about the financial market that others were not seeing as obvious. To him, it was. He got into finances by, on the side, creating a website and picking stocks for people that got the notice of people on Wall Street. Eventually, Burry was one of those who bet against the CDO market like Eisman and made a lot of money because of it. Jamie Mai and Charlie Ledley were two other individuals. And if you think back to that example that I just read in 1 Corinthians, these two fellows were despised by some of these people on Wall Street. They ran their financial enterprise out of a shed in the backyard of a friend of theirs. So the people on Wall Street didn't think too highly of these two fellows. Yet these two fellows kept asking questions of these Wall Street firms. They asked about the CDO market. They asked about the system, and they said, there are some problems here. This is all going to come falling down. But those on Wall Street told them, the housing market's been good for 60 years. It's going to remain good. If the housing market goes down somewhere, it's not going to go down everywhere. We're going to be okay. But these fellas were able to see the truth behind what was truly going on Wall Street. They bet against this market, and they made big dollars because of it when the house of cards collapsed upon itself. Now, keeping all that in mind, I want you to think about this. How could this happen? How could it be that these intelligent people lost sight of what was truly going on with the financial markets. How could they not believe that the housing market might dip? In fact, there were people out there who were talking about it dipping at some point. But these folks were focused on the incentive. The deceitfulness of wealth had grabbed them and taken them away, much like the parable of the sower warns us about having the wrong incentive in life. If you take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4 with me, I want to show you something there. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's take a look at this. How could this happen? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. It says the following. I'll start in verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Ladies and gentlemen, people underestimate the probability of extreme change. I want to repeat that because it's important. People underestimate the probability of extreme change. Those who were looking at this financial situation knew that at some point the housing market might go down. At some point it might fall down. But when they thought about it, they said, if it did fall, this would be chaos for our financial situation. They couldn't believe that this extreme change could occur. And what God's Word says to you, for those scoffers out there who don't believe in a second coming of Jesus Christ, it says you're dealing with limited information. Many of us only live 70, 80, 90 years of life. We think about life from our perspective, our limited perspective, our limited filters that we have because of our experiences in life. But if we take a larger look at life, if we go back thousands of years, the Word of God tells us God destroyed this world at one time through flood. God tells us in His Word that the world will be destroyed in the future by fire. We need to be recognizing that. We need to be seeing that in Scripture and understanding that extreme and drastic change can occur. Just think about your lifetime. Were you alive during 9/11? Did you experience the Katrina hurricane? These are momentous events that have occurred just in our short span of life. The Bible tells us that drastic change can occur and it will occur. And those who are focused and have their incentive on God and getting into His kingdom can understand that. Those who saw the financial meltdown coming received a payoff because of it. Even though they were despised by those on Wall Street, even though they were looked at and laughed upon because of what they believed, they ended up being right. They kept asking questions. They kept doing research. They kept looking into things, much like we are given admonition to do by God with His Word. We're continually told to keep looking at the Word of God. Keep studying it, showing yourself approved through the Word of God. When someone speaks about something, check it with the Word of God. These Wall Street masters of the universe lost sight of their intelligence. They weren't using their intelligence any longer to decide whether or not they were right. They were just seeing the dollar signs. And the amounts of money that were made were incredible, ladies and gentlemen. These people were making millions of dollars. One story talks about one trader who was making millions of dollars for Morgan Stanley. Once the CDO market got going and he started selling those, he began making billions. I said billions of dollars for Morgan Stanley. And as you can imagine, his focus was lost. When it came time to pay up, when all of this collapsed, he was looking at his facts and figures and he could not believe that this was happening. I hope that that does not happen to any of us, that when the second coming does occur, we're not looking around saying, this can't be happening, this can't be true. It will happen someday, ladies and gentlemen. We need to have that proper incentive now. We need to have that proper focus right now on God and His way. One last scripture I want you to turn with me to is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Just like those fellows in the story of the financial crisis, they kept seeking, they kept knocking, they kept looking to try to find answers to these financial matters. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain steadfast in God, in the Bible, what it says. Have your focus on God's kingdom. Have your focus there rather than on the deceitfulness of wealth or all the other things in this word. Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand in that evil day.
What makes us tick? What gets us moving? What causes our blood to boil? That was really at the heart of today's program. That's what Mike was trying to ask all of us to ask ourselves and to confront, because these are questions that all of us have to confront sooner or later. And really what's at the heart of these questions is the question of what is your purpose in life? Because purpose adds the motivational factor to life. It is purpose. It is the item that gives your life direction. It is the motivational factor. It is what determines how much you're willing to pay for whatever you're endeavoring to do, be it school in pursuit of a particular subject or vocation, or whether how much you're willing to sacrifice, or what you're willing to deal with and put up with, stick-to-itiveness, you know, that those things are very important. So you must ask yourself, what is it that makes us tick? What motivates us? What is our incentive? The point of today's program, my friends, was very simple. Get your mind on long-term goals. And the long-term goal that Mike was trying to guide you into was to understand that, look, you can't take what you accumulate in this life with you. You heard that before. What you make in this life comes down to one thing and one thing only, and it's the only thing you really can take out of this world, and that is character. That's why Jesus said, look, put your treasure in heaven where things don't rust and moths can't get at it and thieves can't steal it. Won't you let us help you to better understand this? Dial now, 888-578-8791, and that website there, as you see it on your screen, at www.cgi.org. Get both of these pieces that we're offering on today's telecast, Afraid to Die, and a one-hour presentation by Mr. Mike James himself, titled Incentive. Both will complement today's program. And don't forget about our webcasting. Every Saturday, check our website for the times in your area. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding you always to keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support. Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.